The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. We are on episode 141. I only know that because I checked just before we came on air there, because producer John has stopped putting the number in, so I'm now having to take a mental note of that.
Oh, do you like to do that at the start? You just like,
yeah, I think. Okay. Yeah, 100. This is episode 141, so welcome along. I am Stephen Mill, and this is former Hibs and Aberdeen striker and Portadown legend, Steve Cowan. How are we doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
All right. It's been very good. I mean, it's just brilliant. You've got all the football back now, the English Premiership's back in, and it's just back-to-back football.
So in terms of your knee, more importantly, because we've had a few people asking about your knee, you've had now both your knees replaced.
I have.
Because your knees were... Am I right in saying when the doctor looked at your knees, he wasn't that impressed with them beforehand?
He said that's probably two of the worst knees I've ever saw come into my surgery.
Right, okay.
So we will get you booked in toot suite, and they did.
Yeah, and now you've had both your knees replaced. And... Gary Spence, who I do the show with during the week, if you listen to the radio, we were down in London a couple of years ago at an awards ceremony, and you were there as well.
Yes.
And Gary just sort of saddles up to you and goes, "So, Steve, how long have you been living with a prosthetic limb?" Because that's how you walked like somebody who had a prosthetic limb, according to Gary Spence.
And it wouldn't be far wrong, and other people would describe it as walking like John Wayne, with the bandy legs that would go on like that. So the band has gone now.
Yeah, you've got straight legs for the first time in many a year.
The surgeon said, they said, "What I've done now, I've got your ankle to your knee to your hips, a straight line now. Any other questions? No. See you later."
Okay, fair enough. And in terms of when you were a player back in the day, did you get like a bad knee injury back in the day?
Well, yeah, it was bits of bone were just falling off my kneecap, literally like a glacier that would break up at sea, bits would fall off, and I had to keep going in for operation. And eventually, at 19, they told me, "Can you do anything else, son, apart from play football?" Now, a lot of people would say you couldn't play football either, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I says no as I started to cry and bubble and wail.
Yeah,
and they told me to quit.
At 19?
At 19.
Okay.
And I didn't. I managed to squeeze through somehow. All those managers kept signing me till I was 32.
I was going to say, like, when did you retire? 32.
32.
So you got an extra 13 years out of it.
At a cost.
Yeah. And the cost is now. We are now witnessing the cost right now.
Yes.
So, like, and I'm guessing, like, what we're talking, early 80s here, you were told that.
Early 80s, but that was before they had the arthroscope. That's when they had the, I would call it the broken bottle surgery.
Okay.
So you just smashed a bottle at the side, just ripped into your knee, had a wee look, see what they could see, take things out, sew you back up with a big, you know, granny, you know, the big granny needle. Yeah. And off you go. And that was me. So at 19, I had three major operations and told to quit.
And it was all in the one knee?
All in the one knee.
And was it a challenge, or was it just sort of like...
Just bits of bone were breaking off my knee, Stephen, and left a big hole, which was then causing the structure of the knee to not be very good. And that's when he says, "Well, you need to chuck it."
Yeah.
And I says, "I don't need to chuck it."
Yeah.
Because I don't know what else I can do.
So then after that, you played with Aberdeen, you signed with Hibs.
I passed my medicals?
What were the medicals? What were the medicals?
Well, the best one was the Motherwell one. I went Hibs to Motherwell, and it was a chap, I don't know if you mean John Hart, famous physio. You can Google him, people, and have a look at John Hart. And he said, "Lie in the bed." So I'm in the plinth in the changing room, lie in the bed, and he says, lift your leg again, sit up a couple of times. And Tommy McLean, who was the manager, come in then, and he says, "How's you doing? How's you looking?" "Brilliant, gaffer, he's good to go."
And that was literally it.
My knee was about that size. Honestly, I swear to God, I'd be taking anti-inflammatories before I went for the medical.
So, right, but I mean...
You get through it.
You just sort of like got through it, and even in terms of like, did it affect you like training or playing or anything like that? Were you ever out injured or
obviously, I mean, I probably lost, in my time at Aberdeen, I probably lost about 18 months to 2 years on the sidelines with the three operations I had over the piece.
Yeah.
Probably lost about maybe 2.5, 3 years from my whole career, because I had 9 operations before I had my...
9 operations?
Before I had my 2 joints. So I've had 11 knee surgeries. I've had a dislocated kneecap.
Yeah.
And I've had torn knee ligaments.
Okay.
All knees. No hamstrings, no calves, no back, no...
groins.
Groins, just
no problem with your groin. No. You've got a perfectly well groin.
Groins are brilliant. So right, okay. Knees were a nightmare.
Right, okay, fair enough. Well, it's good that you're on the mend.
And thank you.
You've got your brand new two knees. You ever had any surgery, John? Yes, you ever sort of
I've
had...
actually, touch wood, never broken anything in my life.
Have you not?
Never broken any bone in my body.
That's interesting. I've broken my wrist twice, my left one, before you ask.
I might have a superpower like that guy from, what was it, Unbreakable or whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
Willis,
yeah.
Bruce Willis survives a train crash. That might be me.
Right, okay.
Also, I've also had two dislocated shoulders as well.
Ah, but you just pop them back in, do you not?
Well, they do. They just flop back in, don't they?
Well, I do that Lethal Weapon thing where you just, like Mel Gibson did.
Oh, yeah.
Bang it into the wall and put it back in.
No, I wasn't that brave.
I've dislocated my kneecap as well.
That's a shocker, that, isn't it?
It really is.
Did you see it when it was out so at the side?
I was actually playing football at the time, and I'd probably not played football for about 18 months. Because I played like boys club and a bit of junior and stuff like that as well. But then I started uni and stuff and it just all sort of turned to shit. So I was like, nah, I'm not playing football anymore. And I was actually just kicking about with my mates up the park and on this like AstroTurf. And it's that way where, you know, your brain moves quicker than what your body can now move. And I sort of turned and part of my knee turned and the rest of it didn't. So obviously I fell to the ground and I looked down at my knee and my kneecap was round the left-hand side and I let out what could only be described as some sort of like Homer Simpson style and then it like popped it popped back in.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And it was the most mental thing I've ever
horrible
seen in my life. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, enough chat of dislocating knees, so we're all good. Right, anything else? John, what did you get up to the weekend? You were spotted out and about in Edinburgh. We were hearing some reports of that.
I was out at the Fringe.
Did you go and see anything?
I did. Went to see The Best of Scottish Comedy and it was pretty good because Joe Keenan was comping and then Chris Forbes, who does Duncan Murray.
Yeah, I know Chris.
He was on, a girl called Hannah Campbell, who's very good. And then Paul Black just turned
lovely
up. Great. He's obviously sold out the Armadillo and then turned up at this wee gig.
Excellent.
John Hartson was there.
Oh, was he?
John
right
Hartson randomly said, "You're right."
Friend of the podcast, John Hartson.
Yeah, friend of the podcast, John Hartson. Kind of said, "You're right, mate. How you doing? Because I've done a wee bit of a job before." And I was like, "All right, there." And my mates were like, "Stag, going, do you know John Hartson?" I said, "Aye.
You do." Oh, I mean, what an arse. What an arse.
I know John. I know John.
Me and Big Bad John, we go way back. And all the rest of it. Aye, very good. Right, okay, fair enough. Thank you for all your correspondence over the last week or so. You can get in touch anytime, as per usual. You can leave your comments on YouTube. Tell us about your injuries as well going forward.
Yeah, interesting to hear that.
If you can beat 9 knee surgeries, then I'd be interested to hear it.
11.
11 now. 11 now. Yeah, exactly. But if you can beat that, if you can beat 11 surgeries on your knee or any other part of your legs, then get in touch because I don't think anyone's going to beat
Let's get the bidding going.
Yeah, exactly. The most surgery-prone man in Scotland, Steve Cowan. And thank you to whoever it was that changed Steve Cowan's Wikipedia last week as well. We were chatting about this because...
I thought I was unfairly set up for that one.
No, well, we didn't realise that you changed your own Wikipedia. Which
but everybody
is...
does.
No, they don't.
Who sets them up?
It's volunteers.
What?
So a few
people
years ago,
walk around with an armband saying I'm a Wikipedia volunteer.
No. It's people who clearly don't have lives. But that's the whole point in Wikipedia. Like they don't pay anyone to do any of that. That's why it used to be back in the day. It was quite dodgy. But there's not like a Wikipedia headquarters where there's just lots of people just like putting all loads of information in. It requires people to upgrade it.
So you must be of interest. If somebody does a Wikipedia page for you.
Yes.
Oh, you must be famous.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. Well, the Porter Down Pelly, as someone described you as last week. So, yeah. Cowan now works in financial services and also is a match analyst for Radio 4th, which is both true. He is also the co-host of the Big Scottish Football Podcast, replacing Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. So, thank you very much to whoever edited that. That was lovely. Super Monarch says, do a winner-take-all with all the famous Cowans, please, and put Steve up against 4 other Cowans.
See if you could do that. If we could get like fly people in.
Yeah, certainly like
America or Australia where there's other famous Cowans.
The champion of Cowans. Steve says, been listening from the start. Big changes have happened. Brackets, still adapting. But love Stephen Mills. Don't know who he is. The Falkirk obsessed fan getting pumped on the quiz finally. The quiz was a joke last week and I will win today. Okay.
If you say, if you say you will, you will.
Paul says, is Stephen going to change the quiz like Ewan used to maybe do? Get that Father Ted one we've all been waiting on. Yeah, I can guarantee you, right, even though I did spit the dummy last week a wee bit of the quiz, it was my own fault. So I'm more than happy to take it on the chin here. I'm not going to start bending the rules, John, well, so you don't need to worry about it.
No, what disappoints me, John, you really disappoint me, by the way, because you keep changing the quiz to try and fit the narrative of Stephen Mill.
In what way?
Well, I know there's another quiz coming. It'll be changed again. Why don't we keep the same quiz that I keep winning with the same questions and the same theme?
No,
That's not how quizzes work, Steve. That's not how quiz. Like, let's just keep the same questions so you can keep winning. So you win the same questions as last week.
No, the same theme.
Steve, I hate to break it to you, but if it's coming down to memory test, I'm a lot younger than you. I'll remember the questions from week to week.
No, right. I'll say again, the same theme.
Scottish football.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Okay, Neil says, you called Steve former Aberdeen and Hibs striker for years, but it seems you neglected to mention Portadown, where it seems he's royalty. I mean, I think we discovered last week that you are. Will you be updating your introduction to him? I already have. Also, I can recommend coming down to Bristol for the scenery, but Bristol Rovers are in a bit of a rut, so it might not be the best career move-wise for Mackenzie Kirk. More on him in just a wee bit. They needed extra time to knock Western Super Mayor FC out the cup. George says, I miss Ewan, but to be fair, Steve 8 is wild to the moon.
Ow!
And Barry has been back in touch with his bet surrounding Hearts. So, hi, Stephen. It'll be $1,000 Australian. It's for Hearts to win the league in the next 10 years. But Tony Bloom said that Hearts to split the Old Firm in the next 5 years. Happy to do that or any other. So, it's up to you, Steve. So, do you want to take $1,000?
I tell you what we'll take.
For Hearts to win the league in the next 10 years. Or $1,000 to heart for Hearts to split Celtic and Rangers in the next 5.
Hearts are falling apart again.
So what are you taking?
What do you want to take? They're not going to be splitting Old Firm. They're not going to be winning the league.
So
they could finish third. I mean, if they don't finish third, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I think Hearts finishing third. You're not betting for that. He says he's 49, so hopefully see out the 10 years. So what you want $1,000 for Hearts not to win the league in the next 10 years?
Easy. I'll take that bet.
And $1,000 for Hearts not to split the Old Firm in the next 5?
Yes.
So you're putting $2,000 on the line here?
Yes, and is there a prepayment plan?
We can get some sort of... Well, you're a financial advisor. We can get some sort of payment plan set up. Barry, if you're watching... We're taking $2,000, Australian dollars, okay? Hearts not to win the league in the next 10 years.
Yep.
So that means if Hearts do win the league, you need to donate $1,000 Australian.
To charity.
To charity. And we're also taking Hearts not to split the Old Firm in the next 5 years.
Yes.
If that does happen, you're donating $1,000 to charity.
And if it doesn't happen...
Well, if it does happen...
No, but if it doesn't happen, who's donating?
It's Barry.
Barry's donating the money. Yeah. So let's get Barry to write here. We've got Barry's name and address.
We've got... Well, I don't have his name and address. That'd be a bit weird. But we do have... But he's been back in touch. Barry's fine. Don't you worry about Barry. I'll take care of Barry. And I'll take care of you as well.
Thank you.
So $2,000 Australian on the line for that. Right, let's look back on what happened over the past week or so. Rangers progress in the Champions League despite defeat against Victoria Pilsen. They now face Club Bruges, first leg at Ibrox on Tuesday. Wasn't a great performance over in the Czech Republic.
No. Nope.
But as we always say, it doesn't matter. They're through, which is the most important thing. But they are giving up a lot of chances. And I think if Victoria Pilsen were a wee bit better, they would have been in big trouble.
Yeah, I think defensively, I think Russell Martin said it himself, he's still got problems in there. They just can't seem to defend properly. Going forward, they look good.
They're also, like, it looks like Jeffrey's away. Robbie Fraser's just signed for Dunfermline. They don't have any left backs. I don't know what they're... Robbie Fraser was in the Champions League squad. He's just signed with Dunfermline on Friday there. He was at Livingston on loan last season.
Well, maybe they'll give their captain a game over there, Tavernier.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, but then I've looked at Aaron's at left back, and he's not a left back.
No, but it's difficult. See, if you're in that position, obviously you need to be left footed, and the flow of the game would automatically lead you to that progressing up the park, pass. But if you're a right footer And I've saw it with right wingers, and Mickey Weir was one of the for doing that. They would cut in all the time. Mm-hmm. So he's cutting into his right foot, and you can guarantee the runs of the strikers then and the midfielders all have to change, because he's changed the motion of the whole game by cutting in the park, and it doesn't look good.
Club Bruges, I think they're third in the Belgian league just now. Had a okay start to the season. I think they're going to be a step up in quality. They were obviously in the Champions League last season as well. How do you think Rangers will do against Club Bruges?
Well, you hope they win. You mean it's a big thing for Scottish football. You want them getting through. Is that a 40 million game? Is that more than 50 million game? You've got to hope they win. It's going to be tough. But
so
the first
leg at Ibrox, they need to take a lead to Club Bruges.
Even a 1-0, but they've got to go with a clean sheet.
Okay. Dundee United, as I predicted last week, lost. Just.
You were quite happy with that, weren't you?
I wasn't happy.
You were texting me saying, well, but I told you I was right.
I was happy to be right. I wasn't happy that Dundee United went out, because obviously they were a bit unlucky, losing out on penalties. I did think Rapid Vienna were a pretty decent side. Like, I don't think there's any disgrace in Dundee United losing to Rapid
problems
Vienna.
Problems again, Stephen. Can't defend.
Defensively, though, Dundee United do have problems. Yeah. I know they've got, like, Ross Graham's out, but I do think defensively they don't look great at all. And that's going to be their downfall. But no, I wasn't pleased that Dundee United got put out.
No, you were.
I was pleased that I was right, but I wasn't pleased that Dundee United went out. Let's just clarify here. I was wanting Dundee United to go through. Hibs did get through, despite losing 3-2 at home to Partizan Belgrade. They made it difficult for themselves. And we've already seen the goal of the season, Kieran Bowie.
What a hit. I mean, what a hit. And they talk about the goal, and that goal for me won't be beaten this season, but his overall performance, Stephen, reminded me of the strikers, you know, back in the day, the 80s and 90s, and you know, people like Joe Jordan getting themselves about, you know, making it hard for defenders, led the line brilliantly, worked ever so hard. I mean, he just worked his socks off, scored a great goal. So I've got high hopes for him this year.
I was going to say, so the Scotland squad will be announced probably not next week, maybe the week after. He's definitely going to be in the squad, barring any injuries.
Play him.
But that's what I'm saying. Is he a starter?
For me, play him. I mean, he's got confidence, and you know, the young guy, nothing's going to faze him just now. He's been down at a premiership club, I think it was Fulham, he was down at there. But after getting that goal, he's already got two in the first sort of league game as well. Get him in.
Rhys McCabe has left Airdrie. They're on the lookout for a new manager, so it looked like he resigned and wanted to leave. I actually met Rhys McCabe in Glasgow City Centre by chance about 3 weeks ago. And he was saying how much a struggle it's been to try and get players in over the summer. So I don't know if that's been a big sort of bugbear of him, and he's just been like, nah, I'm away. But the thing is, he kept them up last season when it looked like they were, you know, doomed for a lot of it. Yeah. I know Hamilton obviously got their points deduction. The year before, he got them into the playoffs. The year before that, he got them promoted through the playoffs. I think there's a decent manager in there in Rhys McCabe, but where's he going to get a job next? Like, who's going to employ him next?
That's a good point you make, because there was a lot of talk of him, you know, being the next best thing to go maybe into the Premier League team or whatever the case may be. But, you know, seeing you're scrambling down the bottom there, you need to do a wee bit better job than just keep people up, because there's a lot of guys that can keep people up. Very few guys can get you promoted and then into the big time. So he needs more than the CV.
I think, to be fair, Airdrie had shocking injuries last season as well, and I think that hampered them.
Can I just say something here?
As soon as they got players back, they went on a decent run.
You're doing a fantastic job as his agent.
I'm not.
Because you met him 3 weeks ago. You're now blowing him up as if he's the next Carlo Ancelotti.
I'm not blowing Rhys McCabe up to be at all.
Can we replay that?
What do you mean?
Well, he's done that and he did that and he kept him up and he did this. And
I think for a young manager, he's done all right.
What, keeping people up?
No, won promotion through the playoffs for League One, then got in at the playoffs in the Championship.
But hundreds of guys can do that.
Who?
Hundreds have done that. John, get the list of people who have got promoted for League One and League Two and ask where they are now.
Well, I mean, John McGlynn's about to lose his job.
He went to PSG, though.
Gary Holt, there's one.
Gary Holt, yeah.
Where's Gary now?
Where is Gary Holt? Did a fantastic job at Falkirk, I thought, to be fair.
See, it's all very well Falkirk doing this and cannot the lower leagues and all that kind of stuff. No disrespect to them, but the lower leagues. But then you've got to keep doing it. It's like football clubs who maybe Aberdeen won a Scottish Cup and then fall back into the pack again for 10 years. You've got to keep building on that, and he's done nothing.
Okay, fair enough.
Ian Murray, apparently one of the favourites to return to Airdrie. Ian McCall also put his hat in the ring, obviously.
It's the same old, same old.
Hundreds of guys can do that, though.
That's what I'm saying. They just get them out. There's hundreds of them there. I'll pick an Ian.
Pick an Ian.
Pick an Ian. Let's pick, there's a box of Ian's. A box of John's over there.
Any old Ian. Any old Ian. Any
old Ian will do for Airdrie. So,
come on.
So what would you do?
What would I do if I was an Airdrie supporter? Or an
Airdrie? No, if you were the Airdrie chairman, what would you do?
Cry.
Right, okay.
Because, I mean, they're down there. They're going to be continually down there.
Unless you appoint a manager who's really good.
Yeah, and then you've got to feed them loads of money to get half-decent players. You're not trying to tell me that John McGlynn would have got promoted, John, but they got promoted without money.
Yeah, of course.
Did you go then?
We have very little money.
Hold on a second. Me and Stephen, we could go and do a job like this. Well, see if they said, right, there's 3 or 4 million, on you go.
Right.
To any of these sort of lower league clubs. You can't help but be successful.
But Airdrie don't have money.
No, but that's I'm arguing the point. That's what I'm saying to Stephen. We've got hundreds of these guys out there, and that's why they don't make it, because they don't get the money to eventually get them away. One or two do it, John McGlynn being an example.
I mean, I did say that Falkirk bought their way at the title last season.
Aye, very good, Stephen, aye.
I mean, everybody knows. Scott Arfield was the
I believe at the start of the season it was, that's just, you need to buy players because that's just a League One side.
The only man worth his salt, I would say, is Davy Martindale.
Okay.
Who has proven that he can stay with a club, keep them in the Premier League for a number of years, got relegated, came back at the first attempt. But again, I would probably say he was given a few quid when the new American owners came in.
Yeah.
So you need money. You can't just be NLD for me. And away we go.
Right. Okay. So you'd a person appoint a Davy. You'd go into the box of Davies and try and get a manager.
Or the gyms. I think there's better gyms in there.
Right. Okay. So
Jim Jeffries. You've got Jim McAnally.
Jim Jeffries is about 80 years old.
Jim McAnally.
Jim McAnally.
Jim Duffy.
Jim Duffy.
See, you was a box of gyms.
Yeah. So you'd personally go into the box of gyms if you were the Airdrie manager. You'd ignore the box of Ian's.
Seriously.
The box of Davies.
I would try and pick out an assistant or a coach in the Premier League just now that's been there maybe for 2 or 3 years, get them in.
Okay, and give them a chance.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he will have contacts in the Premier League
okay. From
being in there, know how all that works. Try and give him a few quid and see where it goes.
I'm just, John, could you check if there are any Jims, Ians or Davies who are assistant managers in the in the top flight.
In the top, right now.
Or a coach.
Right now, or a coach.
Right, I'll get on it.
Right, so if you could, by the end of the podcast, could you get together a list of Jims, Ians and Davies?
And the kid, just first team coach.
First team coach.
Right, okay, I'm on it.
Right, okay, right, yeah. He's on it, right. Okay, thank you very much, John. There's also been some transfer news, hasn't there, Steve? This week there's been quite a lot of transfer news. Anything that sort of tickled your eye?
Yeah, there's Rangers have completed a season-long loan deal for Brentford.
Wait a now, you can't just start without me. You need Jim here to go through the transfer.
Jim, are you ready now?
Absolutely. I've just come out my box of Jims that you had there. So
you might be an ideal coach for the lower leagues.
Can I get the Airdrie job? I'd love Airdrie.
Well,
your
name's Jim. Anyway, Rangers have completed a season-long loan deal for Brentford left-back Jaden McGoma.
I was just the way to say that Rangers don't have any bloody left-backs, but now they've just gone and signed one this morning. Can't believe what happened there. Yeah, unbelievable.
And Nico Raskin, again, a lot of news about him. Wolves, Aston Villa, Brighton, Fiorentina, Airdrie, all interested in Airdrie's midfielder.
How much are they wanting for him, though?
It could be 2.4 million.
2.4 million? I think they'll want more than that.
Well, they could. Leo Lowe, let's look at Leo. Reignite their interest in Rangers striker Hamza Ngami after manager Bruno Genesio.
Uh-huh.
He wanted him.
He wanted Iggy, I don't know what you said. But
Hamza.
Hamza Iggyman. Yeah, that's his name. I don't know what
Moving
you said.
Moving on, though. Celtic link striker Giuseppe Ambrosino, and I thought that was a custard.
Yeah.
Will remain at Napoli until the serious of Romelu Lukaku's injury is determined. So he might get a gig.
So he might get a gig because Lukaku's hurt himself. He's maybe had 9 knee surgeries like you have, Stevie boy.
Or it was maybe just a big night out on Friday night.
But possibly so. What else have we got?
Aberdeen looking to sign a forward. They've been signing this forward, Lasitic. Sounds like a tablet.
This has been ongoing for ages. This is the transfer saga of the summer.
Well, this is a bigger transfer saga. Rubisic, Cube. He's going to leave Pataudry.
He's going to leave? I mean, he just likes walking off halfway through matches, does he not?
But he didn't feel well.
He didn't feel well. Right, OK, what else happened?
Then we've got Udinese reportedly interested in Scotland and Bristol City defender Ross McCrory.
Ross McCrory, former Aberdeen, of course, and, of course, could be joining your mate, Lennon Miller, at Udinese, who completed his move for a lot more than £1.25 million. What deal.
Somebody was done.
Right, OK.
And finally, St Johnstone have rejected another bid for Mackenzie Cook from Championship rivals Dunfermline.
We're splashing the cash down at East End Park Way. That's what's happening. That's what my sources are saying. I don't think Mackenzie Kirk will end up at East End Park, though, because St Johnstone won't want to sell them.
They won't, but it'd be a great move for them.
It would be a great move, because everybody wants to go to Fife. Right, there you are. Right, do you want to say goodbye to Jim?
Bye, Jim.
There he goes. There he goes. There was Jim White there. So
he's really good at that, isn't he, Jim?
He's good. He just comes in just for that wee bit there. What was I going to say? Lennon Miller, in all seriousness. Obviously, I think it was like 3.7 plus another couple of million or something like that. Or maybe was it 4.7 with another million add-on or something like that?
Pick a number.
It doesn't matter. However, I think what we're saying is, right, I like him, right? I think he will do well. And you hope he does well, obviously.
I think what he's done is the bravest thing for a young player to go abroad. I really, really hope he does well. And if it goes the way the other guys have gone abroad, he will do well.
And the thing is, I think he can probably, as you say, like, it wasn't a thing back in the day, really, players moving abroad. I know you played with Mark McGee, who went to Hamburg and stuff like that as well. But generally, young Scottish players didn't go abroad.
Didn't go abroad, no.
Whereas now, you've seen, obviously, Lewis Ferguson. You've seen, you know, Scott McTominay's slightly different, Billy Gilmore's slightly different as well. But even boys like Liam Henderson, Josh Doig, going to Serie A as well. This is great. It can't not be a good thing.
Honestly, let me just repeat. I think it's brilliant for those guys to do it. So the advice I'm getting for the people around about them is get out the Goldfish Bowl of Scotland or British football. Go over there. They've saw the template with the guys you've mentioned, McTominay and all that kind of stuff. So I just think, honestly, the bravest thing, new culture, new language, different style of player, managers. Well done to Lennon Miller for doing that.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Yes.
He comes back, you know, hopefully progresses and...
It'll take him a couple of years, but he'll need patience.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, what else have we got? Let's go to the football of the weekend. It was obviously the Premier Sports Cup last 16. Let's start on Friday night. It could have been Celtic 25, Falkirk 1 if it wasn't for Scott Bain. It was another walk in the park for Celtic. There was a vast gulf between the teams. John, I know you're working on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Friday night, so you'd sort of have one half eye on the football and listen to the radio.
I watched the first half and listened to the second half on the radio.
And obviously, what's the difference? Because when Falkirk played Celtic at the same stage last year, Falkirk, you know, did quite well. Yeah. And
Celtic, Celtic had a better team out. They were more on it this time. They kind of got what they knew what to expect from us. And yeah, there was an absolute golf in class. Celtic's press was brilliant. And yeah, we, you know, quite comfortably beat us, unfortunately.
Dane Murray starting at centre-half for Celtic as well. Is there a player in there?
I thought he did really well at Queen's Park, Stephen. I don't know if you saw much of him last season.
No, I didn't see much of him.
I thought he was decent at Queen's Park.
I mean, obviously, he's only up against a sort of diddy team like Falkirk. But you need to give these players chances, Steve. You need to see what they're all about.
It's good to see them getting a chance to do that. It won't last at Celtic because Celtic, well, you know, spent £6 million in trust and he's on the bench half the time as well.
Yeah.
He's going to have to hope Carter Vickers gets injured and, you know, people, Liam Scales maybe gets injured. He's not going to get a regular game. There's no way it's going to happen.
Do you think Dane Murray's a worse player than Liam Scales?
I never said that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you said he'll need to wait until Liam Scales get injured. Like,
Liam Scales will be picked before Dane Murray because Liam Scales...
He's got a bit more experience.
He's played in the Premier League for 3 or 4 years now. He's set season at Aberdeen, which done him good. Won things at Celtic, played in cup finals, won leagues. So he's got all that pedigree there. Dane Murray doesn't have that there. And I'm a bit worried about his lack of pace.
Okay. Dane Murray?
Yeah.
I mean, Liam Scales. He's not exactly Usain Bolt.
But if it was a race, I think Scales would win.
Okay, fair enough. Celtic 4-1 winners on... Friday night they play Partick Thistle next because Partick Thistle beat Ayr United by 2-0. O'Reilly and Chalmers with the goals. Another poor performance for Ayr United. We'll get to that in a second. But Partick Thistle, obviously got absolutely pumped on the opening day of the season by St Johnstone. Picked up a point last week at home to Morton. This was a good win for them at the weekend, though, and it's starting to move in the right direction a wee bit.
Well, it is, and sometimes, as you know, Stephen, it takes three or four games just to get in your stride a little bit there, but they seem to have found a way to get the win. And against, you know, to be fair, a strong Ayr team, so that gets down as a good result.
Ayr have got a bit of an issue. We mentioned this last week on the podcast. Obviously, they lost last week to Raith Rovers. I said 2-0. It was 1-0. People make mistakes. And this week, they're out the League Cup. I think a lot of people, including myself, maybe fancied Ayr to have a wee tilt at the title in the Championship. Now, it's early days. It's early days. But it's not clicked yet this season for Scott Brown at all.
I think the problem with Scott Brown, and I think the problem is with the hangover for the end of the season last year, where he came out, said a lot of things that weren't maybe just what the club and the fans and the players would want to hear, said he wasn't sure about his future and all this kind of stuff. And I think that has lingered on and on. And I think also other teams now have started to suss them out how they play.
Yeah,
I think they're going to struggle. And I don't think Scott Brown will stay out the season there.
They do have a few influential players out, like Jamie Murphy's out injured just now as well, who's obviously a big player for them. But yeah, it's not been a good start to the season at all. Elsewhere, St Johnstone obviously won their first couple of games in the Championship, up against Premier League opposition on Saturday, and they lost eventually to Motherwell by a goal to nil. So Motherwell continue their decent start to the season. I know it's been a couple of draws, but you know, home to Rangers, away to St Mirren, not easy matches. And they're through to the quarterfinal, where they'll play Aberdeen. So Motherwell will fancy their chances of getting to Hampden.
Oh, they certainly will. And you know, it was nice to hear the St Johnstone manager, Valakari, praise Motherwell. He says, "I've no complaints. They played really, really well. They deserve to win the game. I like how they play. I like his style. Good luck to them." So that was good coming for the St Johnstone manager. But Motherwell have certainly built something there. And they're looking dangerous.
Aberdeen, as I mentioned, through. It was pretty straightforward in the end against Morton. I know Morton had a penalty shout quite early on in the game that wasn't given. However, Aberdeen pretty much cruising into the quarterfinals. Nielsen Yenge getting his first goal. And then Leighton Clarkson, the guy you picked out last week to say, why is he not playing?
Don't understand it.
He obviously made it through. Aberdeen made it through and to play Motherwell in the quarterfinals. Home tie, though, they won't be complaining about that. That's decent.
They won't be complaining, but as we've just spoken about Motherwell, though, they'll be very, very wary. They'll know that this is a good team that's come to play them. You know, Yenge, got to say, you know, as a striker, he's had a lot of stick there. Good to see him getting his first goal. Maybe that'll just take the pressure off.
Okay. Elsewhere, we also had St Mirren 1, Hearts 1. And then
Hearts are falling apart.
St Mirren won 5-4 on penalties. By the way, the St Mirren penalties were absolutely spot on. They were great penalties.
I said that would be a sticky wicket for them, and I thought St Mirren would win that game.
Yeah, you did. Let's start with the positives. St Mirren are a right good team, aren't they?
Well, again, you know, we talked about Stephen Robinson. We talk about him often. You know, he's got a new contract now, 3 years in the top six there. Moulded the team and the players and how he wants them to play. The type of players got back in the midfield as well. So they're a danger to anybody.
Mm-hmm. And they play Kilmarnock in the next round. Hearts out. So Derek McInnes said at the start of the season he's targeting silverware. I don't think that's an unrealistic thing for Derek McInnes to say.
But this is a disaster.
I know, like, this is a real chance for Hearts to get their hands on some silverware. And the first time they come up against a, you know, let's be honest, a really tough challenge in St Mirren, they've faltered.
Can we increase that bet to $2,000 Australian?
So each?
No,
right.
But that's a shocker. That whatever way you slice and dice this, and I know he tried to say after the game that he played one too many new boys. What does that mean? I mean, these new boys are meant to be better than the old boys.
Yeah.
And he said he played one too many new boys. So I don't understand that. And to go out at this stage of the League Cup, so that's them now. They're lucky. They don't have European football, okay? So they've got a week to week, but they've got to wait until January for the Scottish Cup to start with their only ever chance of winning a trophy.
Yeah.
Gone. So that is a shocker, I think, right at the start. And I think because it's Derek McInnes, he's got away with winning the press there. They've been quite light on him.
Okay.
In terms of a stick, saying that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, well, for the way Hearts have, you know, there's been a lot of chat about Hearts. Now, it's not going to, they did say it's not going to happen overnight, but you need to make a...
Don't get put in the last 16 of the league cup.
Yeah.
With the money they've spent. and the, you know, the analytics.
Well, that's the thing. If you were to compare the budgets of Hearts and St Mirren's, I mean, exactly.
But so how can you say I played one too many new players? He played seven. So he's saying if he played six, he'd have won the game. He needs to explain that to somebody.
Okay, Rangers made it through, 4-2 winners against Alloa. As we've said a number of times this season, not a great performance by Rangers, but it doesn't matter. They are through to the next round. Bajrami, great goal from him to kick things off. And
but worrying, Stephen, worrying at the back.
Again, like we've spoken about this so much.
Does he hear the Alloa manager? He said it was 3-2 with a couple of minutes left. He says, I thought we had a right chance. That's what he's saying, and against Rangers.
Alloa should not have a right chance against Rangers in any way, shape or form.
Totally.
But they need to sign players. They need to sign...
But they've signed about 19 players. Many more do they want?
I hate coming back to Tavernier all the time, but
you will.
But I will. And I know he scored on Saturday, and, you know, I just think he sort of... I know I say this all the time, he epitomises everything that's been wrong with Rangers for the last few years.
But he keeps seeing all the managers off.
I know, exactly. I know.
So they'll see something in him.
It's an absolute grim reaper.
So Russell Martin sees something in him.
Well, not really. He's not been playing him. I know he played on Saturday, but he's been in and out of the team.
But he started the season.
Yeah, but and then as soon as they saw him, they were like, nah, well, you're out.
But you should have saw that at training, in pre-season games.
I know that. I just think that, again, Rangers have signed these players, but there's still players there who I'm like, how are you still there?
I think the Rangers fans, you ask most of the Rangers fans, they'll tell you they're still unconvinced about the style of play. You know, this possession-based, dominating the possession and not going on a lot of places and putting fullbacks in behind midfielders and midfielders in behind the front men and front men in beside the side men in behind the back men. And all these people trying to squeeze it. Honestly, they're all trying to squeeze it into the space that doesn't exist.
Okay. But Rangers are through, and Rangers will play Hibs in the next round after Hibs went to Livingston yesterday, won by 2-0. Caligi scored his first goal. This mystery new record signing finally plays. Looked quite decent. Obviously scored a decent goal as well. And David Gray saying after the game that he was pleased that it was a professional performance. The boys did exactly what he asked them to do. They're through to the next round. Hibs are looking good, I think.
It's funny, we've spoken this many times, Stephen, over the years, that winning creates a great habit. When you're winning, you'll keep on winning. Even you might not play well, that habit, win. We need to win. No, we have to win. And they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the results, and it's brilliant to see. They're building on last year.
Mulligan's goal was an absolute cracker as well.
Yeah.
And also, Hibs, again, coming off the back of a big night in Europe where they had to go extra time again.
Yeah.
You know, didn't show any signs of weariness or anything like that. And again, that all comes to if you're playing well, you don't...
And the manager won't allow it to come into the narrative.
And that's the thing where... I think Hibs are going to finish third. And I think they've got a right good chance of winning something this season as well, because I think they've got a really strong team. This boy, they spoke about Caligi after the game, just basically saying, you know, there's obviously a lot of pressure on him because he's the record signing and stuff like that. We want to sort of ease him in gently. And if they want to do that and it works out, then I guess that'll be a good thing. So played well.
Totally.
Played well yesterday. And the final game that we'll chat about, Kilmarnock 2, Dundee United 1. So again, Dundee United's defensive frailties coming to the fore, and they are out of the cup. I must say as well, Brannan, a couple of assists for him as well, looking good.
What a
good
start young, to the season, eh?
Good young player.
Yeah, scored a few goals.
And Lions, Dakers as well. But yeah, disappointing week for Dundee United, a disappointing few days, obviously.
Well, again, you know, did they bring in 13 players?
Yeah.
13, 14 new players?
They lost a lot of players as well. You know, there's a big turnover.
Whereabouts did they lose them behind the couch?
Well, they let them go.
I mean, but still. But the players they're bringing in are meant to be better than the players that they've lost and let go. So, and all this, don't see if you come to me, Stephen, about they need to gel, they need to do this and do that. Rubbish. There's the ball. Go and play. You've been playing like that since you were 7-year-old. Go and play. It's defensively. So they're a real concern there.
Okay. The draw for the quarterfinals is as follows. Who's winning each tie? Kilmarnock versus St Mirren at Rugby Park.
St Mirren.
Partick Thistle, Celtic.
Celtic.
Rangers, Hibs.
Hibs.
Aberdeen, Motherwell.
Motherwell.
Okay, so a four of Motherwell, Hibs, Celtic. So you're going for four aways. Four aways.
What are you going for?
I don't know about Kilmarnock, St Mirren, because I think Kilmarnock have probably surprised a lot of people so far this season in the way that they've
played.
You're
picking Kilmarnock.
But I'm going to go for St Mirren. Because I like St Mirren. I think Celtic will beat Partick Thistle. Rangers Hibs. I don't know. I've just bigged up Hibs there, obviously, but it's Rangers at Ibrox.
And you've slaughtered Rangers.
And I've slaughtered Rangers.
So,
but it wouldn't, put it this way, I'll go for Hibs, but it wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't be surprising
so
if Rangers.
Three aways.
And I'll go for Aberdeen. I'll go for Aberdeen to meet Motherwell, I think.
Why?
Because they're at Pittodrie and.
Okay.
Do quite well in the Cups.
Okay.
So I don't know.
They've won one in 35 years.
Well,
they've. You taught them and they do well.
So out of the last one Cups, how many have they won?
One.
100% record for Jimmy.
Yeah, but it's one in 35 years.
Doesn't matter. You're only as good as your last cup, as they always say. So I'll go for Aberdeen.
Okay.
I'll go for Aberdeen. So there we are. Right, that's what's happening in the League Cup. No need to watch the quarterfinals. Right, let's move down into League One then. So it was 45 fixtures on. No Celtic Hearts, Alloa, because obviously Alloa were playing Rangers. Cove Rangers 3, Montrose 3. So first points of the season for those two teams. Hamilton losing at home. Well, Broadwood. Against East Fife, that is East Fife's first points of the season as well. Bit of shock there as well, because Hamilton obviously won their first opening two games and East Fife had lost theirs. So East Fife managing to get on the board. Another wee bit of shock as well. Inverness won, Stenhouse Muir too. So Inverness had won their opening two games. Stenhouse Muir have now won their last two as well. And Queen of the South beating Peterhead by 4 goals.
Queen of the South have started well, eh?
They have, but it's the table's a bit mental because you've got Hamilton, Queen of the South, Alloa, Stenhouse Muir all on 6. Kelty, Peterhead, East Fife all on 3. Inverness, Montrose and Cove all on 1. So obviously, really early days in the season. Alloa, of course, could make it 3 wins from 3 if they beat Kelty in the rearranged match. And finally, in League 2, plenty of goals as well. Clyde 1, Spartans 3. So Spartans 2 wins from 3 so far for them. 1-1 between Dumbarton and Elgin City. First drop points for Dumbarton and Elgin City. First point of the season for them. East Kilbride 3, Stranraer 1. So that's East Kilbride looking like they're up and running now, to be fair, after losing their opening game. 2 wins from their last 2. Edinburgh City 2 and an Athletic 2. And 4 for 4, Stirling Albion 2. So we need to go through, Producer John, all the pointless teams in the SPFL, please. Here we go. So after match day 3 in the SPFL, who is still left pointless? We have Aberdeen, Stranraer, who, John, you missed out last week. That's completely your fault.
Yep.
And Edinburgh City, who are on minus 11. Montrose, Cove Rangers and East Fife all got their first points of the season. So Aberdeen, Stranraer and Edinburgh City kind of all sort of being pointless so far this season. Right, let's get to some refereeing decisions.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, nothing much happening in Celtic Falkirk on Friday night. There was only 3 matches. This is another nonsense as well. I know we have this when we get to the Scottish Cup as well. Some of the matches have VAR and other ones don't have VAR.
Yeah.
And it's only if the two teams agree, and then if they don't agree and the home team wants it, they're the ones who have to pay for it and all the rest of it. Nonsense. Let's just not have it.
Agreed.
Let's just not have it.
Let's go back to the good old days.
Let's just not have it full stop. But it needs to be the same for everyone. Anyway, Celtic Falkirk, nothing much happening. Livingston Hibs had it as well. Nothing much happening there. I guess the penalty to Rangers after the handball on Cameron O'Donnell.
Penalty.
No real complaints there. So, quite a week on the VAR front. I'm sure it'll be all different next. Remember, you can always leave your comments on anything that we've chatted about. Any of your opinions are always welcome. It is at Big Football Scott on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook as well. And of course, you can leave your comments as you're listening and watching on YouTube. You can watch on the YouTube channel. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard and remember, subscribe. So as soon as the episodes go live, they will drop right into your feed. Right, Producer John, you have a sweaty new game for us, because what we're doing here is basically trying out lots of games to see what works.
Pretty much.
It's called live on-air testing is what we're doing here. Yeah. So John, you've come up with this one this week.
Well, I haven't come up with it. It's my brother who's come up with it, who's a regular and avid viewer of the podcast.
Okay,
and he
right.
suggested, why don't we try something like that game show, Who Dares Wins? And I thought an appropriate bread would be the theme to The Great Escape.
Right, okay.
Because, so, you know, it's kind of army and stuff.
Right, okay. Who
dares
anyway, ones, right?
This is the rules, right? If you've not seen the TV show, right, I've got a subject in front of me, right? And then you two are going to bid about how many answers you can think you can get on said subject, right?
Okay.
And whoever has the winning bid...
Has to follow through.
Now, if they fail, it will then hand over to the other person who will try and get their bid.
Okay, right.
Do you know what I mean? So
okay, so if it was like teams to have won the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
And I said I could name 10 teams to win the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Steve Cowan says, I think I can name 11.
And then you can maybe come back in. Yeah.
I could name 12.
Yeah.
Do you understand it, Steve?
Yeah, but I'm not happy.
How are you not happy?
Is that the topic we're going to be... Is that the topic, the category?
No. That's not the category, no. I've got an entirely different category for Steve. You get really upset at these things, don't you, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know there's always this conspiracy theory to try and do
Steve,
the champion.
Steve, you've won the last two quizzes.
See, when you win everything,
mm-hmm.
everybody's out to get you.
Right, okay.
So I just suspect... It's like, trust no one, argue everything.
I don't know anything about this. This is a sweaty octopus
okay,
game.
Okay, on you go, sweaty.
Right, okay then. Right, so your category for today is... PF Players of the Year.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
What are you saying? Since 2010, there's been 14 PFA Players of the Year. How many of those do you think you could name? And we'll come to Stephen Milford.
Where did this come from? What happened to a normal quiz?
We'll do that at the end. This is another new game that we're trying out, Steve. It's called Live On
Air
Testing.
It's like House of Games, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. There's multiple games. Remember how we did the 5-4-3-2-1
yes.
a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, we're just trying out another
game. Just trying it.
We'll do the quiz at the end, don't worry.
Right.
The quiz is coming.
Jesus God.
God.
Right, okay. Stephen Mill, how many do you think you could get?
Four? Do you think you can get name more than four players who have won the PFA Player of the Year since 2010?
No.
How many do you think you can...
You don't think you could name more than four?
No.
How many do you think you could name, Steve?
In the last 2010. None. One! I could name one!
Right, brilliant.
Right, you could name one.
You could name one. Right, so basically, I would put Steve Cowan in the code of silence, right? You've only got to name four to win the point here, Steve.
Great. I was actually going to say eight, but then I was like, I don't think Steve's going to be very good at this, so I only said four.
I knew that. Shouldn't have thought of that rubbish.
Well, surely you would know these players. Like, as people who have won the PFA Player of the Year
that
in Scotland.
That doesn't interest me.
Who won Player of the Year?
Well.
How do you mean it doesn't interest you? Just because you never won it?
Because it wasn't me.
Right. I know, but since 2010, surely you can get a better bet than that. Surely you can... Surely.
Three!
Right.
Three. Right, okay. So you say...
So you're not even going to try and beat me? You don't think you can get more than...
Okay. You're saying four.
Right. You're saying five.
Hold on.
Make sure you can't see your
No, rocket. I genuinely can't. Do you think you can get five? Say five.
I'm trying to think of the player.
I know, but you get time to think about it.
Well, Steve's going to say six anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think
you can get five? Do you think you can name five?
Yes.
Right.
Right, I think I can name six.
Steve, do you think you can name seven?
Do you think you can name seven?
Do you know what I'm going to name, John? This game.
What?
You're allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Shite.
So.
Right.
You don't think you can get seven?
Nah, no danger.
Right, okay. I'll get
six then.
Okay, we're going to put Steve Cowan into the cone of silence, and we're going to see if Stephen Mill can name six players of the year since 2010. So there goes Steve into the cone of silence now. Stephen Mill.
You got music on?
We will rock you.
Right, okay, can you name six players who have been PFA Player of the Year since 2010? This is for the point.
Okay, Lauren Shankland.
Correct.
Kyogo.
Correct.
Callum McGregor.
Correct. Three more to go.
Right. Am I not allowed the wrong answer?
Nope.
Sick.
Game is over if you get a wrong answer.
Scott Brown.
Correct. Two more to go.
Since 2010.
Since 2010.
I'm such a idiot. Scott Sinclair.
Correct. You're actually doing very well because we've just about named them all in order. You've only got one more to get this point.
Since 2010.
Since 2010.
I mean, there's one I can think of, but I don't know if they had it because I don't know. Who else? Right. Odson Edward.
Oh, I can't believe you bottled it! You bottled it! Let's bring Steve back in! Steve! He's bottled it! He's bottled it! Couldn't name the six. Got five.
He's still got the music.
Oh, there you go. Steve, he's bottled it!
Did you get it wrong? Have I won?
No, you need to get five.
Right, so
it's you okay. Never got it.
I don't have to put you in the cone of silence, Stephen. So right.
So okay. I got five.
Right.
And then
he's managed
it.
To get five, and then messed up the last one. Right, Steve Cowan, you've got to name me five PFA Player of the Years since 2010, and you will win the game.
Did I say five?
Yep.
Shankland.
One.
Maeda.
Two. Last year's PFA Sick. Player of the Year winner, which Stephen didn't get.
McGregor.
Three.
Tavernier.
Four.
It's got to say him.
One more for the point here. One more for the big one here, Steve.
And this is where I'm really struggling. I've got two names, but. Two Celtic players.
Right.
It's either Jota or Edward.
Right.
And it's since last 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will go for Odson Edward.
Odson Edward.
Mm-hmm.
PFA Player of the Year.
I said the exact same thing. Edward was the one who let me down.
She's a both managed to get.
Did Jota win it?
No.
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 I was going to go for Tavernier.
Who else did you say?
Right.
Scott Brown. Kyogo. And then I also said McGregor and Shankland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that.
You
no
could
wins.
Have had since no. 2010. Here are the players of the years. Izaguirre, Charlie Mulgrew, Michael Higden, Chris Coman, Stefan Johansson, Lee Griffiths. You got Sinclair, you got Brown. You didn't get James Forrest. That's the other one that you were missing there.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
There you go.
Box of gems.
Box of gems. Straight for the box of gems.
That's annoying.
There you go. So I've got a tiebreak question. Do you want to go for the tiebreak question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go, right. So on the same thing. How many Scottish players have won the award? Closest answer wins.
Since 2010?
No, since an all-time PFA Player of the Year awards. How many Scottish players
have won it? When did it start?
Back in the 70s.
Right.
Right.
I'll write my answer down. You can say it, Steve.
Right, okay. Steve's written it down his answer. What are you saying, Steve?
I'm going to say 37.
37.
I've gone for 30.
Stephen Mill takes it. It was 25.
There we go. Anti-climax. We don't even have a winner's bed. So
That was okay. So we've had what? We've had 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Then we had the FIFA player card right.
That was shite.
That was a bit shite. Aye. And then we've got Who Dares Wins.
That was good there.
Did you
wins.
Like that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right, we'll see.
Better topics, yes.
Let us know in the comments below.
Yes, exactly. Let us know in the comments on YouTube at Big Football Scott. Yeah. Let's try and unmask a footballer, shall we? Right, so this is what we know about our masked footballer. They're retired, they haven't played for Scotland or are indeed an international, and they have played for Hibs. Somebody said Stephen Dobie. As a shout last week.
It's a really good shout. I mean,
because I'm looking at Stephen Dobie. I'm just
good striker in his day.
He was a very good striker.
I thought he got. Did not get a cap. I thought he got a cap.
That's what I was concerned about, because I thought he might have. I thought he maybe got one cap. He didn't.
No,
that's surprising, isn't it?
When he was scoring all the goals when he was down south, and
Swansea, like he was like goal
Swansea,
machine.
Blackpool,
legend.
Crystal Palace, he was at.
Mm.
Bolton, Queen of the South was ludicrous.
Always scored against Falkirk, all the time.
Right, okay. So Stephen Dobie's actually not a bad show, but the way that John's speaking about it, I don't think it is Stephen Dobie, unless he's trying to bluff us here. You know what I mean? What else can we ask? So this person played with Hibs, didn't play with Scotland, not an international.
We don't have the questions previously that we've asked. We should get the
no, we have. We've what we already know. We asked if they were still playing or not. They're not. They're retired. They haven't played for Scotland or are an international. And they've played for Hibs. So that's all we know so far.
Well, but did they win a trophy with Hibs?
I mean, that would narrow it down significantly.
Exactly. Because you got the 2016 and the League Cup in 2007, 2005, something like that. That's only two trophies in the last 20 years. But if they were in those teams.
However, if they were. If they haven't won a trophy, that doesn't narrow it down really at all.
And that's a gamble.
Okay, do you want to go with that?
Unless you've got a better one,
We could narrow it down to a decade. Did you play with Hibs in the 90s or the noughties? Or
so we've got to be specific about the decade. We can't just say what decade.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, we can. Yeah. But again, that would narrow it down particularly if we said, "Oh, did you play with Hibs in the 90s?" And the answer was no, because then that
kills it.
That kills it as well.
I'll leave it to you.
Now we'll go to your question then. Okay, mass footballer, did you ever win a trophy with Hibs?
Aye.
There you go now.
Right, okay. Here we go. So, Hibs 2016 winning
Cup
team.
And then the League Cup in, was it four or five? Can't remember.
Hibs
exactly.
League Cup winning team. Oh!
What year was that?
They also won League Cup in 91, didn't they? They beat Dunfermline in the final. That is going back quite a bit.
What year was the League Cup, the most recent League Cup?
It was 2007. They beat Kilmarnock 5-1.
Yep.
So let's have a wee look here. So, starting for Hibs in the Scottish Cup final was Conrad Logan, David Gray, not going to be him.
Well, Conrad Logan, is he not Irish?
But we don't know if this person. We just know that they didn't play international football.
Okay.
So Darren McGregor. Did Darren McGregor get a cap?
No, I don't think so.
Darren McGregor. Possibility. Paul Hanlon. Pretty sure he's not capped. Oh no, Paul Hanlon has been capped.
Yep.
Lewis Stevenson's capped.
Yep.
Fraser Fivey.
I think he is capped.
He's not capped. No. Dylan McGeoch. He's capped. John McGinn, obviously. Jason Cummins, obviously. Liam Henderson? Has he been capped?
No.
No. Okay. 1991 final. John Burridge?
English.
Willie Miller? Not that Willie Miller, the other Willie Miller.
Willie wasn't capped, no.
Graham Mitchell?
Played with Mitch.
Gordon Hunter?
Jeebs never got a cap out of there.
Tommy McIntyre?
No.
Murdo McLeod got capped. Mickey Weir?
No.
Brian Hamilton?
No.
Brian Hamilton not capped?
No.
Keith Wright got a cap?
I think he did.
He got one cap. So it's not Keith Wright. Gareth Evans?
No.
Pat McGinley got a cap. Did he? No, he didn't. He only got a B cap. Right. I mean, we're going back quite a bit there. That's boys who you played with.
Yeah, I don't think it would be that far back.
2007, Andy McNeil didn't get a cap. Stephen Whittaker was capped. Scott Brown was capped. Lewis Stevenson was capped. Stephen Fletcher was capped. Michael Stewart, did he get a cap?
Four.
Kevin McCann, never heard of Kevin McCann in my puff. If it's Kevin McCann, I'll go fucking mental.
I'd just go mental if it was Kevin McCann.
Because you've never heard him.
Because I've never heard him, right. And no one else. Like, it would be, if you were to unmask the footballer, people would be like, "Who's that?" So that would be a shite mass footballer. Unless we are barking up the wrong tree here, and they aren't Scottish, because then you've got boys like David Murphy, Chris Hogg, Rob Jones.
I don't think it'd be that.
You don't think he'd be that
niche?
Okay.
One jumps right out at me.
One jumps right out at you. Mm-hmm. Kevin McCann. Who?
Darren McGregor.
You think it's Darren McGregor? That's a good shout. Right, we need you to do some research on our behalf. I think we've done quite a lot for you there. James Keatings? He never got capped.
No,
he never. Right, okay. At Big Football Scott, and leave your comments on YouTube as well. And that is the Mass Footballer. Let's get on to the quiz that Steve actually likes. And because producer John is so organised today, I know that he's left the whiteboards for us. Oh, yeah, the whiteboard. Oh, no, you've forgotten them again, John. Because you always forget the whiteboards every single week.
Who's so more interested in nights out at the weekend?
Drag your arse in here and give us the boards. Every week. Thank you,
John.
And I've got the wipes.
You've got the wipes, so you just get back to your fucking sweaty cave. Right.
Thank you.
There you go.
I knew he was going to do that, and I set him up for a fail.
Right. At least I had them ready to go. I just had forgotten.
Just in the wrong room. Yeah, ready to go.
By the way, it's 2-0 to Stephen. I don't know if you need a reminder of that.
Right, I'm going to win the day.
Thank you, John.
Sure everyone's right, happy, and then everyone likes it.
So right, all right, okay. So we're going to, you know the rules, 5 questions on Scottish football, kind of penalty shootout style. And we will start the quiz right now with question 1. Which championship side have a sheep on their badge? Which championship side have a sheep on their badge?
A sheep?
Aye.
I've got absolutely no idea. Why would they have a sheep on their badge?
Why wouldn't they?
Do you know this? I've got genuinely no idea.
Time is a ticking, Stephen. Time is a ticking.
I've genuinely got no idea. I'm just guessing.
Right, okay. Here we go. Time is up.
It's still too long. It should be 30 seconds. What's this minute stuff?
Because Ewan, we basically had to compensate for Ewan. We should maybe cut it to 30 seconds.
Got to be.
Because Ewan, okay. Fair enough.
I'm happy to.
Right, okay.
Okay, I'll go first.
Oh, are you going first?
I'll go first. And purely on the basis that they're farmers, I'll go for St. Johnston.
And what have you written down, Steve Cowan?
Ross County.
One of yous is right. And that person is Stephen Mill. Fluked it. Now, if you think of the St. Johnston badge, it's got like the kind of phoenix with the double thing.
We don't really want to know,
right,
John.
In
it's
the
not
middle
point.
Of the badge.
No.
In the middle of the badge, it says Perth and there's a sheep with a flag.
Again, we should think about this, Steve, because this screen behind us, if you're watching on YouTube, has all the badges on it. And we could have just looked.
I forgot about the screen. Well done.
So that's null and void then, because he's cheated.
I didn't cheat.
He's just admitted... He's looked at the screen.
I genuinely didn't.
No, I was watching it, but you can see it, obviously the back screen there. You can see the sheep in the middle.
I think there's got to be a VAR.
I couldn't even told you that was a sheep, and I didn't look.
But you just said, look at the screen behind us, and there's a sheep.
Yeah, I know. Well, you need to use your surroundings to your advantage, Steve.
Well, see, the game's null and void already.
Right. Okay. Question number two.
1-0 to Stephen. Here we go. Question number.
My basis was that they're farmers, so they must.
Come on!
Right. Jack Ross currently works at which English Premiership side? Question 2. You both look like you know this. Both written something down. I'm going to stop the timer because you've got something down. What have you both written down?
Newcastle United.
There we go. Both correct, Jack Ross County at Newcastle 2-1.
Remember, you can go for your top bin at any time, Steve, which is worth 2 points.
You don't have to go for it yet, Steve.
No, that's what I didn't say.
Anybody else want to chuck in some advice? Can we get somebody else in?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just being open and transparent here. I don't need to play mine. I'm winning. I'm winning 2-1. You're the one who's in the shite position, not me.
John, I'll have my top bin.
Don't be lured in, Steve. Don't be lured in at such an early stage. You're still in the game here.
Let's go for it.
Oh, you want to go top bin?
Yes.
You want to go top bin?
Fair enough. Fine with me.
Tempted in, right. Okay, Steve Cowan, your top bin question is, in what season was the first Scottish Cup final? In what season was the first Scottish Cup final?
Do you remember it well? Were you injured for it?
Had a knee.
I was watching for the Victoria Hospital in Glasgow.
Ben Doak's going to Bournemouth.
Oh, is he? 25 million.
£25 million. Good signing that, Steve. Jank. Ben Doak to Bournemouth.
If he gets a game, he needs to play regular football. I mean, when he played for Scotland, he looked bright and lively. He needs to play games.
Okay, you got an answer then?
I have.
You right. Confident?
No.
Okay. What were you written down, Steve?
1876.
Oh! Marshall has saved! Yes! Just out. It was 73, 74. I think they just celebrated the 150th anniversary recently. That's why I thought it might have come back to you. Oh, unlucky.
Oh, what a shame, Steve. So I will get the normal question now. It's still 2-1 to me.
Yeah, you get the normal
question. Number three.
Yeah, you pretty much sew this up if you get this as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Robinson managed which club in between Motherwell and St Mirren? Stephen Robinson managed which club...
Can you make it any easier?
In between Motherwell and St Mirren. Just signed a new deal with St Mirren.
Can you make that any easier, the questions?
Do you think that's...
No, but that's the normal question, Steve. They're not... The top bins are harder. I've got the answer, I think.
Right, okay, what are you
writing down? It's Oldham Athletic.
And Marshall has saved!
Is it Morecambe?
Yes.
Oh, shit! Who meant...
It's Morecambe. Well done, Steve.
He was at Oldham.
How did you not get that?
Because I thought it was Oldham.
But how?
He's been at Oldham. He's got Oldham connections.
So he's got nothing sewn up yet?
No. 2-1. Still.
Two questions to go.
Question four.
Can't believe you never got that right.
Steven, you still have your top bin available as well.
I think I'll stick with the normal question here.
Right, next question. What number does Andy Robertson wear for Liverpool? What number does Andy Robertson wear for Liverpool? Came off the bench yesterday. Oh no, it was Friday, wasn't it?
Oh, I've written something down, but...
Oh, you both got something written down?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Right. Turn over your pads and let's see what you went for. Steve Cowan has went for 95.
And Marshall has
that
saved.
Is incorrect.
Yes.
And this would be for the win if you've nailed it, Steve Mill.
24.
You were 2 out, it was 26.
Yes.
I knew there was a 6 in it. I knew there was a 6.
There we go.
I knew that.
Did you write down 95 or 96, Steve?
I said 96.
All right, okay. Yeah. Nah, miles out. Right, okay.
Right.
Stephen, you win the game if you get this question right.
You need to get this right, Steve. And hope I get it wrong. Right.
I certainly hope so.
For the tiebreak.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Your final question is...
But hold on a minute. Is he not meant to play a top bin?
No, he doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to.
That was a rule.
No.
Okay.
Question 5. Where do East Stirlingshire currently play their home games? Where do the Shire... currently play their home games?
It's a shocker. That is shocking.
It's the big Scottish football podcast. This is usually Ewan would go mental at this point because we know about Premier League stuff, none of this lower league stuff nonsense. I expect better from you, Steve Cowan. I expect you to a man of experience and knowledge know this, because Ewan would moan like fuck about this.
I'm desperate to moan.
Yeah, I know you are. I can see it. Don't be Ewan. Don't be that guy.
I've got an answer down, but the longer it goes on, the more I'm doubting myself.
Yeah, I've got an answer. Let's go.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
My answer is Oakleview.
And Steve Cowan, what have you written down?
At Whitehall Welfare.
Whitehall Welfare.
Name one of you laughing.
Stephen Mill. It's a 3-1 win. A 3-1 win, and you're back in the game.
Back in business. Give me the strings. Normal service is resuming. And my victory in the quiz will mean that for the next, I say, I don't think I'm going to lose a quiz now from now until Christmas. All right? Now until Christmas,
I'll win.
Can
we bet $1,000 in that?
I'll bet you $10 that's the case. I will not lose a quiz from now until Christmas. I've got the taste for winning back. That was actually very straightforward. I managed to bounce you into getting your top in question with a lot of ease there, to be honest with you. A lot easier than I thought it would be. So yeah, thank you very much. Good to see everyone happy again and everyone smiling. That's what we want in this podcast. It's the Happy Smiley Big Scottish Football Podcast, as it's often called. Right, that is it. Get in touch for the Mass Footballer. Any suggestions? We might have narrowed it down to Darren McGregor. I really hope it is. We need you to do some research on that one.
Hold on.
What?
Before we go, the box of Jim's, the box of Ian's, and the box of Dave's need to be revealed.
Oh yes, we need to do the boxes. Right, okay.
So, if we are looking for someone for the Airdrie job, and according to Steve Cowan, it should be an Ian, a Dave, or a Jim.
Yeah.
I've went through the Premiership coaching staff for every team, and we've got the box of Dave's, Ian's, and Jimmy's. Now, obviously, you could have to have Jimmy Thielen, David Martindale, or Jim Goodwin, but I don't think they're going to move from.
No.
Right, so, here we go. There is no Ian's.
There's no Ian's.
There is no Ian's. It's a dying name.
A dying name. Clearly. My brother-in-law's called Ian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. We have one Jim, however, who could be in contention for the Airdrie job. Jim Fraser, who's Aberdeen Youth Academy Head of Recruitment.
No, not
Jim Fraser.
Right, let's go through the Daves, or the lot of Davids, but we'll call them Davies. We've got, first of all, Davy McCallum, who's Rangers Academy Manager.
No.
David Marshall, Hibs Performance Manager.
No.
Davy Clarkson is the Motherwell Head of Soccer School.
Possibly.
All right. Okay.
You mean David Clarkson?
Possibly.
Former striker, yeah. Good guy.
Davy Longwell is Dundee's technical coach.
No.
Dave Bowman, United's assistant manager.
Definitely not.
Right. And finally, you could have Davy Haley, who's the Celtic FC women's assistant manager.
Let's stick with David Clarkson.
David Clarkson.
Right, David Clarkson for the Airdrie job.
There we are. So congratulations to David Clarkson, who's been named the Airdrie manager, according to Steve Cowan, from his box of Davies, Jimmies and Ian's. Although, as a Motherwell legend, I'm not sure how he'll feel about taking the Airdrie job. But there we are. As I was saying, get in touch for the Mass Footballer. We kind of narrowed it down to Darren McGregor, but it might be other people. So if you've got any suggestions, then please do let us know. And we'll be back next week with probably another brand new game that producer John or his extended family come up with just after we do the football review. So we're back as normal next Monday. Enjoy your week wherever you are. Remember, Clyde Super Scoreboard on 7 days a week and in the midweek from 6 o'clock. So taking your calls every single night. Until then, we'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.